Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Little Johnny Cash is for you.
I walk the line.
And I know you do walk the line. Or Sherry is going to beat you over the head with a skillet or something out there. You take care of those grandkids or else.
I'll tell you what, you know, yesterday Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and it was a pretty laid-back day. But today our babysitting duties took a step up. We had to get everybody up and dressed and breakfast and off to school. So we've already had a busy morning here.
That reminds you of old times, right?
Yep, exactly.
I remember those.
Exactly. Well,
this segment is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. We believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. So let's put a happy smile on Mr. Issel's face and talk a little NFL playoffs. Bobby, he was 5-1, and we were, what, 3-3?
3-3.
Yeah. Boy,
That's beautiful.
The Cardinals, oh, yeah, it is.
It's like 0-6. I mean, you know.
Well, it hurts the pocketbook, right, Bobby? We broke even. Yeah, we had, you know, but we lost the juice. We had to pay the juice.
Fair enough.
I should have gone across the bridge with 5-1.
Yes, you should have.
Well, so. we'll have plenty of time to talk about the games coming up next. But a couple of guys got the monkey off their back last night. I believe that was the first playoff win for Matthew Stafford and Odell Beckham. Is that right, Bobby?
That is correct.
Yep. So, and they put a beating on the Cardinals. Poor Murray. He couldn't turn around.
Boy, he couldn't, could he? Wow.
No. Now they go to Tampa Bay. I don't know, with that defense of the Rams playing like they're playing, and Brady missing some of his pieces, it wouldn't surprise me if the Rams didn't win that one.
That would be a huge upset for Tampa Bay to lose at home. Right, Bobby?
I tend to agree. I think for the Rams to win, though, they have to play as well as they did against the Cardinals. Like, they can't be the inconsistent team they've been all year. They have to play at 100% all the way through. And they got to make Brady uncomfortable, which is easier said than done. Kyler Murray was in his first ever playoff game. Tom Brady's in his, what, 80th? I mean, you know, so it's a big difference.
Did you see that stat, Mike, where Brady has won like 8 more playoff games than all of the other quarterbacks combined that are still left in the playoffs? It's amazing.
So with that stat, you have to say experience counts, right?
Well, sure, but I don't know. Is there a line? You gave us a line on the other three games. Is there a line yet on the Rams and Tampa Bay, Bobby?
Let me check.
Okay. If you got all that experience at quarterback and you're playing at home, you would think that you would have an edge.
All right, the opening line is Tampa Bay -3.
Yeah.
So that's basically home field, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's an even game.
So I'm still going with Green Bay. I like what the Rams showed last night, and I know they're going to face Tampa Bay. And if they could win that, you'd have to look at them as serious contenders. But I still have to go with Green Bay.
Yeah. Who do you like coming out of the AFC?
Well, you know, Kansas City. I mean, that Kansas City, what is it, Kansas City Buffalo, Bobby? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be interesting in that it's in Kansas City, not Buffalo. I mean, you get to this point, everybody's tired. Getting on another plane just adds, and traveling again just adds to everything that's built up during the year. I like the home teams in these playoffs.
Bobby, have they put out the schedule yet? Who's playing at what time?
Sorry to choke real quick. Yeah, so it is so on 1/22, what is that, Saturday?
Yes.
Saturday will be the 4 o'clock game is Cincinnati, Tennessee, and the 8 o'clock game is San Fran and Green Bay. On Sunday, the 3 o'clock game is Los Angeles and Tampa Bay, and the 6 o'clock game is Buffalo, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think of that schedule? What do you think about your Bengals?
I'd really like to see him win, but the defense, the offense, I'm not concerned about. I think with Burroughs and the weapons he has, I think the offense is going to be fine. I was a little concerned about the way the Raiders went up and down the field on the Cincinnati defense, and if Henry is back, and I'm assuming he's going to play in this game, if he's back, it's going to be real hard for the Bengals to stop their running game.
But the caveat is at what level of health, because you got to think they haven't been super boisterous about, you know, what his status is. And he didn't play in that last week either on even a pitch count. They just made him inactive. So I still don't believe he'll be at 100%. That has something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, if he isn't, if the Bengals can shut down that the running game, they're not going to shut it down. If they can hold them down somewhat, then I think the Bengals have a chance. But they're going to want to keep Burroughs and all of those receivers off the field. And so I can see Tennessee just pounding away with the running game.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. But I tell you, Burrow, he is, he's capable of pulling the rabbit out of the hat, man. He is, he's very capable of that. I'm a fan, and I've watched him do some things. So that kid's on a roll. And he's got a receiver, Chase, right? He's got somebody to throw it to.
He's got some buddies to throw it to. He's got a really nice receiving core. Jamar Chase, of course, just had a phenomenal rookie year, and he gets all of the headlines. But he's got three or four guys that he can throw the football to. So, you talked about Green Bay. There's something about San Francisco. I give San Francisco a puncher's chance in this game. If you go back to the last game of the regular season, Mike, we talked about it. They beat the Rams in SoFi, and they were able to put a lot of pressure on Stafford, rushing just four people. And one of the keys that we said to the Cowboy game was if they would be able to put pressure on Prescott with just four people, and for the most part they really did. So if they can put pressure on Green Bay rushing just four people, I give them a little bit of a shot to win that game.
Oh, I do too. I like them, and I think they've got some momentum on their side. But I can't get away from Green Bay playing at home. That I just can't. I mean, that's a tough spot that the Niners are in. But yeah, I give them a puncher's chance. Also, yes, I do. That could happen. It could happen for sure. Just so, would you give the Bengals a puncher's chance against the Titans?
No.
No.
No, I hope they do, but I just their defense isn't that good, as I said earlier, the game plan, Tennessee's going to try to keep Burrow and Chase and that crew over on the sideline, so it's going to be really tough.
Well, the running back Mixon, he's pretty good. Now, if they can get control between Mixon and the passing, if they can control the clock with the ball control. You know, they're going to be in the game. I mean, that's going to be the bottom line.
I hope you're right, because I'd love, you know, I've been, it's kind of like being a Cub fan, being a Bengal fan. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game in 31 years. So, you know, you got to be patient if you cheer for the Bengals.
But now you're on a roll. You've won one. You're on a roll, man.
Bobby, you look like you've got information for us.
Yeah, I wanted to look into it. And you're right, the Bengals have a middling defense. But they do have the number 5 rushing defense in terms of yards against. So there's something to be said about that.
What's their defensive efficiency against the pass? Because, you know, you're going to have to deal with that quarterback up there at Green Bay.
Oh, the Niners? Let me look up the Niners real quick. I was going to say.
Yeah, okay.
We were talking about the Bengals in Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, let's check the Niners in Green Bay out.
Yeah.
I would be concerned as a Niners fan with what can happen with the passing game.
The Niners are 6th in passing defense.
Wow. I never would have guessed that. That's an interesting stat. Very interesting, as they say. So,
yeah, and again, I go back, you know, their ability to put pressure on the quarterback with just 4 people certainly helped that stat.
Yeah, it usually does. Of course, when you talk about that, I look back on my boys, the Pumpkinheads, and they've got a good down line. They got a couple terrific defensive ends, and they're not in the playoffs.
Mike, please forget about the Pumpkinheads. They haven't played a game for, 3 weeks now. So
they might not have played a game for a month.
Yeah, you can forget about them. What I was going to say, I have always been a proponent of expanding the college playoffs, and not to 12 teams. I think it has to either be 8 or 16. I think everybody has to play in the first round. If you give 4 teams a bye, you know, that then you're back to 4 teams again with not much of a chance. But after watching these games in the wild card, I mean, 4 of these games were almost unwatchable. They were so one-sided. I watched the first half of that game last night, the Cardinals and the Rams. And then I went. Then I took one of my grandsons to basketball practice and watched that. I'd much rather watch a basketball practice for 7th graders than watch that thing. So I'm not so sure if I am still a proponent for expanding the college playoffs, because I think if you do that, you're going to see a whole lot of games like we saw over the weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you'll get some of that. Okay, but we're talking, when we talk about expansion in college football, in last night's game, playoff game, was turn the television off TV, right? I agree. I lasted about, right to halftime. And then I just said, I'm not going to listen to the talking heads. I'm going to turn this thing off and go to bed. But saying that, college football, it gets down to this. Will they expand? Do they want to share the money? Do they want to share the money? And if they're going to expand, are they going to only expand a few teams, Dan, because that's how they want to share the money? Or they're going to open the door for more than a few and be happy with sharing the money? The money sharing is an issue.
Oh, it's the issue. There's no question about that. And I think it kind of falls in line, Mike, with these commissioners and how many additional teams they think they can put in an expanded playoff. I would think that Stanky would be 100% in favor of expanding it, because that means he could get another 1 or 2 SEC teams in the playoffs. If you're looking at a commissioner like the ACC, or the Pac-12, I don't know that they would be in favor of it, because, you know, they're only going to have one or two teams if you made it 16 teams. So I think you're absolutely right. Money and working out the television, I think, is another big piece of it, because right now ESPN and ABC have all the rights. And if you expanded it, you'd probably have to include other networks. But no, I think it falls right in line with how many teams you think, how many additional teams you think your conference could put in an expanded playoff situation.
Well, the SEC already typically every other year has two teams in the four, so they hit a big payday that way. So another two teams in a 12 team playoff would probably sweeten the pot, but you're going to have to share with others. Now, as far as TV goes, you know, the NCAA has their games on various Turner stations, right? Until they get to a certain point where CBS takes over, or maybe they mix them both early on. So, I mean, it can be done. It can be done in monetarily in a good position to share those games with other stations. I mean, the TV's still going to get their money. The money's still going to be there for college football. I just, and you're right about Stanky. Well, Stanky and expansion, he's got to love it. You're right. You're exactly right. But others, maybe the others are holding it up because they don't want to lose their position in the pecking order.
Right, right. And you know, you look at this thing, and the top three recruiting classes this year in football, college football, were Texas A&M, Alabama, and Georgia. So I don't see that changing anytime soon, that the SEC will continue to dominate the college playoffs.
And Texas A&M, to your point, they're coming. They're coming after Alabama and Georgia. So they're going to be in the mix. If you were to expand, they definitely would be in the mix. Now, you look at expansion, and if Kentucky could win 10, 11 games, they could be in the conversation for a 12 team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there's another school that has greatly improved their recruiting. I think, weren't they number four? Bobby, was Kentucky number four in the SEC recruiting this year?
I believe that is correct.
That's a big move up, because usually...
Absolutely it is.
They have good recruiting years and only 11th best in the league, you know?
And let's not forget that before too long, and I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, Texas and Oklahoma are going to be SEC schools.
Great
so
point.
I know Texas has struggled, but they'll figure that out. You know, Texas will get back to being Texas again. And Oklahoma always seems to be good, although I don't know how good they're going to be in the next couple of years, because I think the whole team has gone to Southern Cal. But but you've got to figure in a couple of years, both of those schools will be in the mix too.
Well, and to your point about I overlooked Texas and Oklahoma at times coming into the SEC. When you look at it, those two teams coming in, I think, will have a negative effect on Kentucky.
In what terms, Mike?
In recruiting, put that aside, because where they're located, they have access to more players than Kentucky does, okay? I mean, quick access. The state of Texas, in particular, will produce a ton of players. But you're going to have to rearrange your schedule. Most likely, you will play one more league game, okay? And what you're drawing into is you're probably going to get Texas or Oklahoma on a, what, every third basis or ever how they want to set it up. You're going to get them as your next, your ninth league game. And that's not helping you any. And they may be down now to a point, and they may struggle for a couple years, but they have the assets, and they are located in a place where they're going to be at the top of this league. They're going to be battling at the top, both of them, sooner than later.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%, and it just makes the SEC stronger, and maybe at some point they'll decide that the – the national championship game is the SEC championship game, and forget about everything else.
Well, okay. You're right. You're spot on. But does making the SEC stronger, I'm asking you to support your position, does making the SEC stronger really help Kentucky?
Well, I think so, because it makes you have to compete. It makes you have to work harder on the recruiting trail, in the transfer portal, re-recruiting your own players. You know, I always think you want to play against the best. I mean, to be the best, you have to beat the best. So, it might not happen, but at least I think Stoops has got it going in the right direction, and who knows? It could.
Well, I agree with you about playing the best and playing against the best on a weekly basis. But man, the recruiting advantage these two new programs have and historically have really sets Kentucky back. As hard as they've worked, they've carved out a niche in recruiting. They've done very well. They moved up to the second slot in the East. But I just think Oklahoma and Texas, I think they're going to overwhelm the SEC ultimately. Now, I know Texas is reloading, and you're right about Okie, all their players have gone to Southern Cal. But the potential for those two to make an impact on the SEC is pretty easily seen.
Well, if you're looking for the easier path, then Kentucky ought to go to the ACC.
Well, there's been a lot, back in the day, they had a chance to go. Coach Rupp or whoever the AD was, Shively, they turned it down. They had an opportunity to go to the ACC. Back in the 50s or early 60s, they had a chance to go and chose not to. But you have to weigh what we're talking about against the financial rewards that Texas and Oklahoma bring to the table. It all gets back to that, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, Kentucky's taken steps. I mean, they've been in the Citrus Bowl a couple times recently. I would think that the next goal would be to get to a top six New Year's Day bowl.
Yep.
Mike, when you consider where this program came from, I think it's on a great path right now.
And no question, and I'm not debating that or questioning that. All I'm saying is that, that path may become littered with obstacles with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. It's going to make it a little harder to climb one more step on the ladder because, I think with their schedule, was it seven home games this?
Eight. This coming year, they have eight home games and four SEC road games.
And you've got some key people coming back, particularly on the offensive side in the running back, Rodriguez and Levis. And Smoke will be back. So you got a question about their line. But I think their defense is going to be really good next year. I think they got some more than a few key people coming back there. And some young kids played well late in the year and in the bowl game. So I think that side of the ball is looking really good for next year. And when you got eight home games, man, you're looking at a real chance to win 10 again, maybe 11 if you could slip in and pull an upset. Go to Ole Miss, beat Ole Miss. You can't go to Mississippi State and beat them, so you pick Ole Miss and try to beat them,
Well, I did see that Rosenthal has decided to go to the NFL. That surprised me a little bit. I thought he might come back for one more year. But, outside of Robinson and Rosenthal, and not counting the guys that you knew were going, Kentucky hasn't lost much to graduation or to the NFL draft. So, they ought to be right back there again next year for sure. Now, one of those home games is Georgia, which makes it a little difficult. But I think all the other seven are very winnable games. And so, like you said, you pick off a couple on the road and you're in good shape.
think about this. Basketball guys, they can do a year and leave, okay, as long as they keep their academics right. They don't hurt the recruiting of their school in the future, okay? Football, those guys got to be there 3 years. They get beat up, they get pushed around, and they get better. So after your junior year, if you think you have a shot to cash a check in the NFL, why would you stay in college? Why?
Yeah, well, I think it goes back again. You have to kind of be able to read the tea leaves. To me, the NFL draft is so much different than the NBA draft.
Yes.
I mean, in the NFL draft, seven rounds, you can come up with seven players that will really make an impact on your team. In the NBA, you know, the second rounders are a long shot to make it. So if I was a college player looking at the NFL, if the NFL told me I was going to be drafted, even if it was in the seventh round, then I agree with you completely. I'd be gone. But if you're going to be a free agent, as I said yesterday, we took the grandsons to watch American Underdog yesterday. That's the second time I've seen it. And I loved it even more the second time than I did the first time. But, you know, those stories are few and far between. I mean, Kurt Warner is probably... I was going to say arguably. I don't even think there's an argument. Kurt Warner is the best NFL player ever that was not drafted. He's in the Hall of Fame. But those stories are few and far between. So if I was told, hey, I don't know, it's kind of iffy if you're going to be drafted, I think I'd go back to school for sure.
Well, let's take it from a different angle. You're there 3 years. You did all the physical things that are necessary. You improved your game. And you're looking at, you know, maybe, like you said, maybe a mid-round, a mid-round like 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know. You pick those or 4 or 5. And you think, I can get beat up physically in college. And I might have a little name, image, and likeness. But I might as well go get beat up trying to make a pro football team. And I got a reward at the end of the line. And I just think that football's got it right in that a long time ago they decided 3 was the magic number before you could come out. Basketball didn't. But, boy, at the end of 3 years, you pretty much know what the NFL thinks about you. You kind of got a good idea of where you might be drafted. And, you know, that takes so much out of you to play football. I mean, the physical piece.
No, I can see your point. But if I had a year of eligibility left in college and I was told, well, I don't know if you're going to get drafted or not, then there's a chance you wind up stocking grocery shelves like Warner did before he got his break. So
yeah.
We'll be back for the last half hour of our show in just a few minutes. A reminder that this segment of Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN has been brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
A little Supremes. Yes, a little Supremes back in the day.
Right up your alley.
Yes, sir. Back in the day. At Stockton Mortgage, they start each day with the goal of getting customers to the closing table with ease, care, and consideration. And this year, Stockton Mortgage is celebrating 20 years of serving you. That's 7,300 days of waking up with the purpose of connecting their customers with the right loan in a streamlined process. That means you find your home and they'll take care of the rest. So whether you're looking to refinance your current home mortgage or looking to buy a home, the folks at Stockton Mortgage are here to help. Get started today by going online to Stockton.com, NMLS 8259. That's NMLS consumeraccess.org, equal housing lender. I found a little something that I thought you would be interested in.
A tidbit or a nugget?
No, this is a nugget. This is okay. A nugget, okay?
All right.
Larry Bird made $24 million during his NBA career. I am assuming that's his salary, not his bennies and endorsements and whatnot. He was perfectly content. He says he was perfectly content to have some soft drinks, some beer, something to eat, and a nice place to live. And that's pretty simple. That's what life's all about, right?
Exactly. And good for him. But can you imagine Larry Bird, one of the, what, Bobby, top five players of all time? Ten players of all
Absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely.
Makes, in his career, didn't make as much money as some of these guys are making in 1 year in the NBA today.
That is a very sad. That's sad, but that's what time was. I mean, what would you have made in this era? I mean, you'd have made a ton yourself. So I might have slipped in for a few myself, but you'd have made a ton. You made a ton.
You know, I've always said I never compared salaries from different eras. I never made $1 million a year playing in the NBA. I was about, I think my final year, I was about three quarters of the way there. But, you know, I always said I never begrudged anybody after me making the money they made, because people like Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, they probably thought what I was making was astronomical. So, you know, it just depends on what era you were able to play. But when you sit down, and I've told this story before, there was a free agent that, and now I'm gagging for his name. He came from the Atlanta Hawks, and he signed about 7 or 8 years ago with the Nuggets at $30 million a year. And I sat down with a calculator when I saw that $30 million a year. It was like 352 or 57 something, $350,000 a game. I mean, that just blows my mind. Over $300,000 a game. Is that unbelievable?
That is. And you and I've talked about that before. And there was a guy out at Denver, I think you may be referring to this now, I think with Atlanta, Millsaps.
And, yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. That's who it was.
And It is. You wonder when it will all end, or how it will all end. You know, you can talk about pulling the TV money, but as long as Europe has a interest in a deep interest in NBA basketball, and Southeast Asia has a deep interest, I don't know when it'll end.
Yeah, I don't know that it does, because, you know, with the collective bargaining agreement, the players have to get half the revenue. And with the revenue just keeps going up and up and up, because for television rights and suite revenue. And I mean, it just continues to climb. The only way it ever stops is if people quit paying to go to games, or if they quit watching on television.
Yep.
That's the only way it stops, and I don't know that that's going to ever happen.
No, and it seems to me that the generation of 18 to 40 really enjoy the NBA game. I mean, they really do enjoy, and the corporations keep buying suites or season tickets so they can entertain their prize accounts. So yeah, I always wonder where it'll end, but you know, I'm not so sure you can see over that horizon. You see nothing but upside for the NBA and all pro sports. I mean, you can look at all pro sports the same way.
And you know, Mike, this is hard for Kentuckians to grasp with the success of Kentucky, U of L, maybe even throw Western and Murray in that. It's hard for Kentuckians to understand. But in a place like Denver, Colorado, the pro teams, the Nuggets and especially the Broncos, they outshine any of the college programs around here. And I mean, you know, they're close by. Boulder's a 30-minute drive from downtown Denver. But if you couldn't give a ticket away to a CU game. Now, it used to be when Kansas would come in, when they were a member of the Big Eight, Kansas would come in, they'd fill the Coors Arena. But that was mostly with Kansas fans. I don't know how it is now that they're in the Pac-12, but, seldom is CU's arena half full. And, the football team a little more so, but nothing compared to the professional teams here.
Well, a texter, you love the text line. Sports talk radio also goes away without all those athletes. Yeah. Don't have anything to talk about.
Exactly.
I mean, that's no problem. And let's put, I know you. And you know me, we're not bitching about the money these guys make. We know they earn lot of this money, and it's there's no sense denying it. They're playing the way they should play the game, and they're benefiting. More power to them. They got to go for it, you know?
That's exactly my point. As I said, I've never begrudged anybody. The point I was trying to make is just how astronomical these numbers have become.
Yeah, they're Chinese arithmetic, you know? I mean, they're out there someplace. But did you happen to catch the IU, the Fighting Creans, playing last night against Nebraska?
No, I missed that one.
It was a good game.
It was a good game. Nebraska's terrible. How was that a good game?
Well, but Nebraska was hanging around. IU couldn't put them away. For whatever the reason, they couldn't put them away. Nebraska's hanging around. And you're right. They're the Missouri, the Georgia of our league, along with your boys at Northwestern. But they hung around.
Hey, wait a second. Wait a second. The Mildcats beat Michigan State. You can't put Northwestern in that.
Yes, I can. Every squirrel, you know, blind squirrel and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, I can. I mean, they're terrible, too. I mean, you know, but I'll tell you what, this Davis Jackson is quite a player, man. He continues to perform, whether they're double teaming him, whether he can outrun a big guy or they get back in transition to try to find him. Whatever they do defensively to try to negate him, they have a hard time stopping this kid. They even have a hard time at keeping him from getting his touches. That's the amazing. The kid works hard to get his touches. And a lot of times when defenses try to take your touches away, guys just stop playing, right? This kid doesn't
stop
playing.
Well, that was, if you remember yesterday, that was the point I was trying to make. And that is, you can be a very, very good player if you get your numbers, make your contribution, when you're not the focal point of the defense. You become a great player when you can do that. And that's what you're referring to. I mean, the defense, you know, is focused on him, double-teaming him, trying to take his touches away, and he still makes a contribution. That's what makes him not just a really good player, but a great player.
I agree, and he's continues to impress me in that regard. And then this kid, what is his name? I was thinking it was Montgomery. He came off the bench. He's number 22 for IU. He is a good-looking young player. If Crean was around, he could help us with that. But he's number 22. He had a big game last night, comes off the bench, and I like him. So, IU, they're beating the people they're supposed to beat. You know, don't tell me it was only a four-point game. Okay, you're on the road. You play a team that's not very good, and they're pumped up. They're ready for you. All you got to do is win, right? Win and go home.
Yep.
That's all
right.
You got to do.
Is it Jordan
exactly
Geronimo?
Right. Yes, Geronimo. Yeah, right. That is him. He's a good look. Thank you, Bobby. Good looking young player. About 6'6", and he is. You keep your eye on him. I really like him a lot. And okay. So they're Indiana's on the right track. And interesting game for the Hoosiers of Brother Crean's. Thursday night, I believe it is, they entertain Purdue. Or they may go to Purdue. I'm not sure. But they have Purdue on the schedule Thursday night. It'll be interesting. Davis Jackson, what's he going to do against Edie and the Williams kid who comes off the bench? That'll be an interesting game.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like we talked at the very start of the show. Purdue is really impressive. I mean, they won a hard-fought game at Illinois. I can't believe I was watching that game with a couple of my grandsons yesterday, and I told them that arena. I can remember going to the state tournament. My little team never got to the finals in the state tournament, but we would always go as a team and watch the state finals. That arena was new like my sophomore or junior year in high school. I can't believe they're still playing in the same place. But that was a hard-fought game, but Purdue's pretty impressive. I really like that team.
Well, the Race Thompson kid for IU is kind of like Batman or Robin to Batman with Jackson Davis. He is playing very well, and he's a sneaky player as far as he's going to get some putbacks. He's going to get some opportunities to get the charity stripe. He is, I think, going to be key in the Purdue game. What he is able to do when they try to take away Jackson Davis, they try to take him away. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But Race Thompson is the guy that's going to be the key. The rest of the guys need to play. Geronimo and all of them. But Race Thompson, I think, is going to be the key. What can he do? Edie's going to be on Jackson Davis. If Williams comes in, they got both of them. Williams will be on Thompson. I think that's going to be an interesting game within the game.
Yeah. But that's a tall order for Indiana.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I really think that'll be a tough game. And who does U of L plays tomorrow night?
They play tomorrow night against
Boston College.
Boston College, yeah.
Should be a chance for the Cardinals to straighten the ship a little bit.
And it's their only game they're favored in, and like for like the next million years.
Yeah,
favored by six.
It's a chance to right the ship, maybe get some attitudes straightened out. Did you – you're out there. I don't know if you read this, but a couple of the players, in particular the big guy, said that the team lacks motivation. How about that? The team lacks motivation.
I'll tell you what the team lacks. It's called talent. That's what the team lacks. I don't know how you could say what a clown. The team lacks motivation.
They don't have any. I mean, have you seen the play? They look so disinterested. I've never seen a team look as disinterested as I see U of L. They also don't have talent, but they don't care.
Well, I will refer back to last year with the Cats. They look very uninterested, unmotivated many times, and Calipari looked like he was going through living hell trying to coach that team. So Max got his work cut out for him. Calipari had his last year. It didn't turn out very pretty for Kentucky, and I'm afraid because of what you said, Bobby, and what you said all along is it ain't going to turn out real pretty for the Cardinals.
No, they can't score the basketball. You can talk about all the other things, motivation, Malik, rebounding, turning the ball over, bad, they just can't score the basketball. When you go 7 and 8 minutes a game and score one bucket or no buckets, you're not going to win any games.
No.
I think Chris is going to have to do exactly what Cal did this past year. Get in the transfer portal, find some guys that can play, try to recruit a little better, and clean house, because this team's not getting it done.
That is, no question about it. His bags aren't already packed.
Whose?
Chris.
You think he's gone?
Yeah, I think he's gone.
I think he's gone, too. I agree with Bobby. But he's been in the transfer
portal. Yes? They're going to eat 3 years of his contract?
Yep. I think part of it – well, there's two other outs, though. There's the out – there's the idea that's been floating around the last couple of days that he's got an eye, one eye towards the Georgia job that will be open once Tom Crean gets fired. There's also the idea of the level two violations coming down and they could fire him for cause for $0. So there's two potential outs for U of L instead of just eating the remainder of his contract.
Well, if I was the powers that be at U of L, I wouldn't be counting on that level two allegation because Chris Mack might be retired before the NCAA ever acts on that. So I guess if they don't want him, the hope is that he would take another job. But you know, don't think Kenny Payne's going to come in here and make this team an NCAA contender overnight. There's a lot of work to be done here.
Well, to Bobby, to a point here about the Georgia job or any job, I mean, how attractive is Chris Mack now to those schools that maybe have jobs open? I mean, he hadn't made the NCAA last year. He may or may not make this year. I mean, for him to make a lateral move or a move upward in the coaching ranks from here with what's been going on, I think it'd be very hard. I think he's going to have to take a step backwards.
I think Georgia's a step backwards. I think you.
No, wait a minute. Wait. You got to sell this guy to a fan base that's a football fan base.
Right.
You're going to sell this guy and his record?
They're much more two things. They're much more lackadaisical towards basketball being a football heavy fan base. And also, Chris Mack will sell. He and his agent will sell Chris Mack as it was all U of L's fault. I didn't think the cloud would be hanging over my head for that long. I didn't think, you know, the president would be bailing out. I didn't think I would get extorted. Chris Mack will use every excuse at his disposal in order to sell himself to another Power 5 school.
Hey, have you ever heard a trainer of a horse, if a horse is a pretty good horse, has run a number of good races, and then inexplicably throws in a clunker, and the trainer says, you can just draw a line through that race. You can just draw a line through Chris Mack's career, his coaching stop at U of L, because of all the things that Bobby just said. This guy can coach. He proved that when he was at Xavier. And I think because of what Bobby just said, you draw a line through what he's done at U of L, and there will be people that are waiting to hire him.
Well, I think that you also have to take in consideration, yes, Bobby, that look, at Georgia, it's very difficult to recruit also, okay? It just is. I mean, you, Durham, did a great job back in the 80s, but since then, it's been hit and miss because Georgia, for some reason, has this reputation that they're a football school, they don't care about basketball, yada, yada. They haven't been able to really draw on the Atlanta marketplace for the top players. Kentucky goes in, Auburn goes in, Alabama goes in. Georgia, it's a tough recruiting job, okay? So if you hire Chris Mack, if I'm the AD and I hire Chris Mack, I say, Chris, I love you. I'm going to hire you. You can't bring those guys with you that were your assistants. I want to talk to you about your assistants because this is a hard job. And Louisville's a hard job because of the probation. But Georgia's historically been a tough place to play. You would think you have access to Atlanta. You have access to a lot of places. Georgia has not been able to break the code on getting multiple players out of the Atlanta Celtics AAU ball club.
What is that a Tom Crean problem, or has that
been historically the issue?
Okay, no matter who the coach is.
Right. Tubby did a pretty good job down there in a different era, but it's still about cracking that Atlanta market for players. The top players are there, and they've been unable to get them. I rest my case.
Well, You could have said the same thing about Auburn. You could have said the same thing about Alabama. But you know, when they win, then there's interest in the program. I think that'll be the first key, is getting somebody in there. And it's, as you said, Mike, it's going to be awfully difficult because you're in the SEC, which now is doing a great job recruiting talent, but they have some great coaches. The basketball coaches in the SEC has really been raised, not a notch, but several notches. So it'll be a tough job. But if you get somebody in there that can win, I think it changes that situation around.
I think the real question about Georgia is this. Are they willing to deal with the name, image, and likeness at the same level they do basketball, the same level they do at football? Okay?
No.
Okay, well, that's, you know, the name, image, and likeness can help you overcome a lot of ills in this day of college sports. So are they willing, or do they? I don't know if they do or not. And I don't know anything about Crean's staff as far as their ability to get indoors and get Crean in to do his deal and then follow up with the name, image, and likeness. I don't know that, but I would think football takes priority. And you're going to have to do something in the name, image, and likeness. I mean, that's, you just have to have something.
Right, right. We shall see, but I disagree with you. I don't think Chris Mack has to take a step back. I think he could go to a job like that very quickly.
Well, you know, only time will tell. And I would like to see him pull it out here. I would like to see Chris Mack pull it out here. I know it's against all odds right now as we listen to the fan base. But, you know, he's got a chance. He can make a run here if he could ever get that those guys to play together and play motivated and steal some games. I mean, you know, there's a chance.
Mike, not with this team.
Well,
he has to reload. The only thing, in my mind, the only thing that'll save him is that 3 years. If he doesn't take another job or doesn't have the opportunity to take another job, and you know they can't fire him for cause, that 3 year contract, that's a heavy bag.
Yeah, that's a load to carry for U of L.
Because
you're going to have to pay up for the next guy. There's no question.
Exactly. It's just like the football situation. All right, Michael, have safe travels to College Station, and we'll be right back here tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.